On the 14th of May, I went to Cyprus for the annual spring conference of EMWA, the European Medical Writers Association, so that I could spend a few days hanging out with medical writers. If you don't know what medical writers do, well, there are probably as many definitions of medical writing as there are medical writers. But many medical writers work for the pharmaceutical industry, either as employees of pharma companies or, like the medical writers who work in my own company, Dianthus Medical, as service providers with pharma companies as their clients. There's a lot of paperwork involved in all the clinical trials and other stuff that needs to be done before drugs can be licensed, and many medical writers spend their time writing protocols that tell you how to do clinical trials, reports of clinical trials, and higher level documents that summarise all the clinical trials that have been done on a particular drug. Writing up papers for publication in peer-reviewed medical literature is another regular source of employment for medical writers, but there are plenty of other things medical writers do as well, as you'll hear shortly. Most medical writers come from a science background. A typical medical writer is someone who found that the part of their PhD they enjoyed best was actually writing the thesis. But there are other routes into the profession as well, as again you'll hear shortly. The EMWA conference is very much focused around a well-developed training programme based on a large number of half-day workshops on a variety of topics including the mechanics of writing, such as grammar and syntax, details of drug regulatory processes, clinical trial design and basic medical science. As a statistician, I mainly teach workshops on statistics and I was giving two at this conference. But in addition to the workshop programme, we have various lectures and, of course, a healthy programme of social events and networking opportunities. So here's what happened when I went to the conference. Well, here I am in Cyprus. It's been a long journey, but I'm here now and it looks like a pleasant place to be to spend the next few days. We start with a lecture. I'm not quite sure what it's about, but I'm sure I'll find out soon. And then that's followed by a drinks reception, which is a wonderful thing because it means I'll be able to catch up with all my friends from the medical writing world, some of whom I haven't seen since the last conference, some of whom I haven't seen since the one before that, maybe some of whom I haven't seen for years. But they're a friendly bunch of people, and it will be great to see how everybody's doing. Well, I'm sitting here with Helen, who I think might have come further for this conference than anyone else.
Well, my name's Helen Frankham and I've come from Australia. I work for an organisation called NPS and we're a publicly funded, although independent organisation which provides information about medicines to two groups, health professionals and also consumers. So I'm on the consumer side, writing for our website. And, for example, I've just written a large section of a website about depression and treatment options there and so on, so that consumers can make informed decisions and weigh up their treatment options.
Right, and I guess there's very different skills you need for medical writing for patients than compared with healthcare professionals, right?
True. It's very important to get the tone right and the language right, and at the same time being accurate and conveying the correct message. So, yes, it is a different...
Well, I'm now here with Gillian, and Gillian's got a slightly unusual background for a medical writer. Do you want to tell us about how you got into this business, Gillian?
Yes, I suppose like many people, I sort of evolved into medical writing. My role as a medic and interest in clinical pharmacology involved writing anyway. So I've always been writing. I never maybe thought of myself as a medical writer, really, until I thought about becoming freelance and thought, well, how do I categorise myself? And then you think, well, actually, I do writing, and it's medical writing, so, you know, why not? So I've sort of got there from the medical route.
Right, and do you find it's helpful? Is that something your clients appreciate, that you've got the background
yes.
as a medic?
Yes, I think that does make a difference. And I think it's also nice when you're interpreting results, if you've got that sort of clinical aspect to it, you can tell whether... You know, is this clinically significant? Does it make sense?
Sure, yeah. That's something a lot of medical writers who are scientists rather than medics can have to, you know, learn a lot about, shall we say.
Yes, and looking at safety data, you know, is this a problem or not? Looking at adverse events and things, yes. I think it's helpful there.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I think that'll do for now. Thanks very much, Gillian.
Great, thank you. Pleasure.
Well, now I'm here with Julia Cooper, who's an extremely senior medical writer.
Yes, okay, so I'm the worldwide head of medical writing at Paraxel.
Paraxel's one of the big global contract research organisations.
Yes, for people who don't know Paraxel, it's a CRO. So I manage a team of medical writers who are located across North and South America, Europe and Asia. We're about 65 at the moment.
Okay. So I guess one of the things you're involved is recruiting new medical writers.
Yes, yeah? Yes, definitely.
Is that an easy thing to do, hard to do?
It's very difficult to recruit good, experienced medical writers. I think that's always been the case. But we do also still recruit people at entry level and train them up.
And I guess it's a lot easier to find people then, is it?
It's very easy to find people who want to come in at entry level. And it's getting easier to find people at that more experienced level.
Well, I've just been at a fascinating seminar on paediatric trials, and one of the other delegates at the seminar with me was Christopher, who's a head of medical writing in a pharmaceutical company, and I gather it was the paediatrics as one of your main motivations for coming to this conference.
Absolutely, because we're entering into more and more paediatric studies, and of course there is, in the companies today, a limited amount of knowledge about how to do these studies, experience, and when you come to the meeting and you hear from the experts, the complexity of the requirements over and above that, what you'd need for a standard trial, and then you realize that you need to get good advice. And I certainly found here in the various sessions that we had various people giving good advice, and I certainly learned a lot.
Yeah, and I guess one of the problems with the paediatric regulations is they're still relatively new, and people are still feeling their way. I mean, both us and the regulators, right?
Absolutely, and we just have to find a good compromise where everyone's happy.
All right, thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Well, now I'm sitting talking to Marion Hodges, who has a rather different medical writing job to a lot of people here. We often think of medical writers as mainly serving the pharmaceutical industry, but that's not what Marion does.
Well, I work for NICE in the UK. That's the National Institute for Health and Clinical Excellence. We produce clinical guidelines and also do technology appraisals, looking at the value for money of drugs within the NHS in the UK. And lots of other things as well, and my team are responsible for editing all of the guidance that comes out of NICE. We work closely with, for example, our guideline development groups in writing the recommendations to try to make sure that they are clear and unambiguous. We also write the information for patients on the guidance that we produce in the clinical area.
So obviously it's quite different in some ways from what more traditional medical writers are doing, writing study reports of drug trials and things, but it sounds like there's also some things in common in that you as writers are collaborating quite closely with the people who've done the work on which the reports are based, yeah?
Yes, we're working closely. We work with groups who are looking at the evidence on the areas that they're working on a topic.
Good. All right. Well, thanks very much, Marion. Well, the conference is over now. It's Saturday morning and the conference finished yesterday, but there's a few of us staying over the weekend since we've come such a long way, and I've just been having breakfast with the most important person in EMWA, Susan Barty, who's just taken over as EMWA president as of this week. So, Susan, congratulations on the new role.
Thank you, Adam.
How do you see the profession at the moment? What are the good things? What are the challenges facing us?
Well, I think that one of the challenges we have is that people don't know about us. We're quite specialised, and I think we need to try to get the word out there about what we do and what we can contribute.
Excellent. So if you have one message about what medical writers can do, what would it be?
Medical writers can add value to a lot of processes, whether they be regulatory or other communication processes. We are excellent communicators, and please spread the word.
Well, thanks very much for that, Susan, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the weekend here.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this little tour of the world of medical writing. If you want to know more about EMWA, do visit their website at www.emwa.org. There's also a much longer version of this piece, with extended versions of all the interviews you've heard here, some more interviews with other medical writers, and some more of my own thoughts on the conference, which you should be able to find in the same place you found this podcast, although there may be a delay of a few days if you're listening to this podcast shortly after it was first published. This has been Adam Jacobs of Dianthus Medical, podcasting from the world of medical writing. Bye for now.